Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, family, and welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative LLC weekly broadcast. Our topic tonight, part two, responsible gun ownership in the black community. Self-defense is a human right. Joining us this evening will be the president of the Bass Reeves Gun Club Association in Atlanta, Georgia, the founding chapter of the National African American Gun Association, Brother Colin Mapp, and we'll be discussing, as I said, responsible gun ownership in the black community. Self-defense is a human right. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Yes, our roots began in Africa, as our elder and venerable ancestor, Jegna John Henry Clark, reminds us It's time for black people to stop playing the separating game of geography of where the slave ship put us down. We must concentrate on where the slave ship picked us up. Welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative weekly radio broadcast coming to you via Blog Talk Radio. We come to you every Thursday evening from 9 o'clock p.m. to 10 o'clock p.m. This is the place where we have a sober discussion of the economic and political plight of black people and the global cooperative economic model that provides an exact method of gaining economic and political self-determination. We are building the global machinery for our economic freedom and sovereignty. And so we welcome you to tonight's program. My name is Brother Ongti. I'm a board member of Us Lifting Us, and I'm your host for this evening's broadcast. I'm very excited because we are joined this evening by Brother Colin Mapp. As I said, he's the president of the Bass Reeves Gun Club in Atlanta, and this is the founding chapter of the National African American Gun Association. Tonight, we continue our conversation about responsible gun ownership in the black community with a focus on self-defense is a human right. And by way of full disclosure, I joined the National African American Gun Association in April of this year, which has proven to be a very wise decision indeed. To join the conversation tonight, dial 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your keypad. That will raise your hand in the studio. We will open your line for you to make a comment or ask a question. If you are listening to us via your computer or would like to visit us via your computer, go to our website, www.usliftingus.com. That's US. LIFTINGUS.com. You'll see, click on the listen to live radio. Then you'll see the headphone icon. Click on that, and you'll be able to listen to the program on your computer. As I said, we are joined tonight by Brother Colin Mapp of the Bass Reeves Gun Club Association here in Atlanta, which is the founding chapter of the National African American Gun Association. And before I give you some of his bio, I just want to say good evening, Colin, and welcome to Dare to Win, and let you say hello to our listening audience.
Oh, good evening, Brother Ongti, and also good evening to all of the family and community that's listening to this broadcast. It is an honor and a pleasure for me to join you here tonight and to discuss this very important topic. So I appreciate it, and I welcome you to the broadcast.
Again, and thank you. And we're honored and privileged to have you. Not only is Colin the chapter president of the Bass Reeves Gun Club, he is a certified firearms instructor facilitating the Bass Reeves Gun Club Foundations in their basic handgun classes and instructing courses through his company, Iron Sharpens Iron Protective Training, LLC. He has also shot competitively in the Glock Sport Shooting Foundation and International Defensive Pistol Association matches. Colin is prior military, and by the way, happy Veterans Day to you, Colin, for this just past
Thank
Veterans
you.
Day. Serving in the United States Marine Corps for 4 years, and is certified in CPR and AED and Stop the Bleed. And he mentioned one of my most important near-term goals is to provide gun safety presentations in communities represented by our membership to eliminate the negligent injury or death of children resulting from the unsafe handling of firearms in their homes. Community service is at the core of what we do at the Bass Reeves Gun Club. So, good evening, Colin, again, and to get us started, just tell us how you came to be a part of the National African American Gun Association and then president of Bass Reeves.
Okay. Good evening. So I moved to Georgia 4 years ago from New Jersey, relocating for work. And one of the first tasks on my to-do list was to apply for my Georgia weapons carry license. So, you know, New Jersey is a very restrictive state as far as gun laws are concerned. So it was very refreshing for me to be able to move here to Georgia and exercise my Second Amendment right. I also wanted to enjoy the sports shooting and recreational shooting at Atlanta gun ranges when I got here. And I wanted to do it with people who looked like me and had similar desires that I had. You know, I wanted to fellowship with my people, you know, African-American people within this gun community. I did an internet search for Black Gun Club, and I found National African-American Gun Association. So my first meeting was in the end of 2016. And from the first meeting, I mean, I felt like I was amongst family. So the room was packed with men, women, all ages, different, you know, social and economic positions. And everyone, you know, it was just one big family in the room. So I joined. I joined in January of 2017 and, you know, immediately got involved in what I could do to support our community and to, you know, represent what a legal and ethical Black gun owner looks like. And in July of 2017, I was asked to serve as the president of the Bass Reeves Gun Club chapter here in Atlanta, which, you know, is a position that I take very seriously. And since the time of my appointment, it's been a very high caliber. And, you know, they're ready to roll up their sleeves and contribute to just educating our community in firearm safety and also proficiency.
Thank you. And I just want to say on a personal note how impressed I have been since I became a member of NAGA and Bass Reeves Gun Club in particular, just at the organizational efficiency, but as you pointed out, the spirit of family that just permeates every aspect of the work that is done by this crucial organization. Listeners have some background, what is the mission and vision of NAGA and Bass Reeves?
Well, the National African American Gun Association, or NAGA, in 2015 by Philip Smith. He is currently our national president, and he founded the Atlanta chapter here, Bass Reeves Gun Club, in honor of Black History Month. So just like myself, he was looking to fellowship with other African-American gun owners and to be able to see folks like him and shoot with folks like him that look like him on the range. And so he launched this organization. So the organization started in 2015 with five members. Right here at Stoddard's Range and Guns in Midtown. And in 5, going on 6 years, it'll be 6 years in February of 2021, we've grown to 100-plus chapters. We have 35,000 members nationwide, and NAGA is now in 35 states. So we've had exponential growth in this organization because the goal of the organization is to establish a Second Amendment organization. We are pro-Second Amendment that educates and trains our community on the rich legacy of gun ownership of African Americans. So we offer education, we offer training, we offer support. We believe in safety standards, and there's a cultural inspiration to everything that we do. So, you know, just like you intimated, Brother Ante, you know, we strive to create an environment where the newest gun owner can feel that they are safe, that they're supported, and they can get the education that they need to raise their proficiency. So a lot of times we have those who are new to gun ownership that are very intimidated by the whole culture. So we create an environment that's non-judgmental and an environment where you can feel safe and be able to learn. So we are focused on the Second Amendment. And we have a unique relationship with the Second Amendment in this country. So we are focused on the preservation of our community through armed protection and community building. So it's not all about guns. It's about education. It's about community involvement and support. We welcome all people of all religions, political, social, sexual orientation, racial background. We are, we're open, but we are unapologetically an African American organization for our community and by our community. So you can find NAGA on Facebook, and I'll just give you Facebook, Twitter, and also Instagram at NAGA, N-A-A-G-A, National, all one word, NAGA National. And our Bath Reef Gun Club, we model the very same mission and principles of our national organization. So there's congruency between the national organization and our local chapter in every way. And you can find the Bass Reeves Gun Club on the web at www.bassreevesgc.com. So bassreevesgc.com and on Instagram, bassreevesgc. So you can look us up, check us out. You can contact us, and we'll let you know how you can get involved if you choose to with our chapter and our local and our national organization. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And thank you. I'm just blown away by that, starting with 5 members and now having 35,000 members and chapters in 35 states. That's tremendous growth. And one of the things that's exciting and impressive to see is an organization that is young but able to handle that kind of explosive growth is a testament to the caliber and the dedication of the leadership. So I commend you again, Brother Colin. You are very good in making the experienced gun owner as well as the newbie feel welcome and a part and pick up their training right where they need to from whatever level they come into the organization at. One of the things that struck me about NAGA and Bass Reeves, last week we had Brother Darone Armstrong of the Black Gun Owners Association out of Denver, Colorado, who was on. While he stressed the importance of safety and the proper way of handling firearms, one of the things that I thought was very unique about NAGA is they do an excellent job of making their members aware of the rich tradition of firearm ownership in our community. Now, this was new for me. So help us appreciate that rich tradition, Brother Colin. You may want to start by just telling our listeners who was Bass Reeves, and there may be some other points, people that you want to highlight for us, but walk us a little bit through that tradition.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, this tradition was very new to me too. You know, I grew up just knowing what was in the history books, which we all know is his story. It's not our story. And so, you know, we grow up with a really jaded view of who we were historically in this country. So the term that we use is the Black tradition of arms, which many in our community don't even know that term exists. And there's a rich legacy and a rich tradition of arms in the African-American community that has helped us to both achieve and maintain our human and civil rights.
Brother Colin, you're fading out just a little bit. Can you adjust your microphone a little bit so we can hear you more clearly?
Sure. Is that better?
Try another position.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. So this road that we've taken in this rich tradition of arms in our community hasn't been an easy one. So since we've been brought to this country as enslaved people in 1619, you know, we have had struggles in this country, both, you know, on a social level and on an economic level. So the Black tradition of arms, what it is it exalts the individual's choice in preparation for dealing with imminent violent threats. So what it holds is it holds true that it is our human right to safety, and also it's morally and ethically acceptable to use violence as a means of self-defense. So we're not talking about political violence, but we're talking about defense of self and community. So the Black tradition of arms, there's been many significant times in our history that has impacted us, you know, has had an impact on our unique experience in the United States when it comes to the Constitution and state laws. And the Black tradition of arms has been instrumental in managing through those different situations. So let's take us back a little bit to when the Second Amendment was born. So in December 15th of 1791, the Second Amendment to the United States Constitution established the protection of the rights of the people to keep and bear arms, and it was adopted as part of the first 10 amendments contained in the Bill of Rights. After Confederate states were defeated in the Civil War, ending in 1865, those Confederate states during the Reconstruction era were allowed to put laws into place that prevented African Americans from owning guns. So these laws were called the Black Code. So the Black Code gave the states the ability to get around the people's right to keep and bear arms by prohibiting freed slaves or those who had been enslaved from voting, gathering in groups for worship, learning how to read and write, and also preventing them from owning guns. So it was a huge gun control stance that the Southern states took. Its major purpose was to preserve the institution of slavery. As we go through the years, we see significance of that Second Amendment and our Black tradition of arms. In the 1800s, you have African Americans who were employed as soldiers and also lawmen in the Western frontier, and that's where Bass Reeves, who our chapter is named after, received his prominence in the history. So Bass Reeves was born enslaved and actually freed himself from being enslaved, and he lived amongst in Indian territory and learned five Indian languages. He also learned the territory very well. So when the marshals came to the West, they sought out Bass Reeves because of his ability to, one, be able to understand the land and its terrain. He was able to build relationships with the various Indian nations, and he was very proficient in the use of firearms. So he was appointed the first Black deputy U.S. Marshal in all of the Western territories. He was responsible for bringing 3,000 felons to justice, and he was shot at but not ever killed or injured in the line of duty, and lived to be a good age, died of natural causes. And in his obituary, he was so well recognized and so well respected that they said he was fearless. He knew no master but duty. And he was one of the most prominent law enforcement officers in all of the West during that time. Some say that Bass Reeves was the model that the Lone Ranger was modeled after, debatable. But one thing I know is that the Lone Ranger character couldn't hold a candle to Bass Reeves with his proficiency, his honest and ethical ability to uphold the law, and also his ability to really make relationships and keep relationships within a territory that was very, very violent. So some of the
Go ahead.
I said some of the other historical figures that we may have heard of is Ida B. Wells. She was a writer, prolific writer. She owned a newspaper. She began to write in support of Black armed self-defense after she experienced one of her very good friends being lynched. And she famously said that the lesson that this teaches and which every African American should ponder well is that the Winchester rifle should have a place of honor in every Black home. So not only was she a civil rights activist and a writer, but she was also a huge proponent of armed self-defense. And that's dating back to 1892.
Right. She was such a crusader against lynching of black folks. And so it was rampant that we know that that time, the climate was extremely dangerous for black folks. And anyone that stood up to that became a target. So, yeah, I sometimes think we don't fully grasp the import of someone like an Ida B. Wells and the critical role she played in helping our communities resist this idea that black folks could be lynched without consequences, and resisting that, sure, that kind of attack and assault on us. We're going to take a quick break, Brother Colin, and when we come back on the other side of the break, one of the other things that I think that is very important about Naga and Bass Reeves is they advocate for our community exercising not only our Second Amendment rights, but also organizing to impact policies that affect our community. In other words, they're strong advocates for political expression as it relates to the policies and things that we need in our community. So we'll pick that up on the other side of our break. And so we ask everyone, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Once again, if you're just joining us, this is the Dare to Win program, weekly broadcast put on by Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative, LLC. My name is Brother Ankti, and I'm the host. And we're privileged to have with us tonight Brother Colin Mapp, who is the president of the Atlanta chapter of the Bass Reeves Gun Club, which is a Atlanta chapter of the National African American Gun Association. And just before we went to break, we were continuing the conversation about the rich tradition, the rich history of blacks in the use of firearms to protect our community. And Brother Colin had shared information with us about Sister Ida B. Wells. For those of us who come to the Dare to Win program on a weekly basis, you know that we also focus on the economic dimensions of our struggle. And one of the things that I find very exciting about Bass Reeves is that they are making plans to build a Black state-of-the-art gun range and meeting facility to serve the needs of Black folks. Now, I think we heard Brother Colin mention how rapid is the growth of the National African American Gun Association, going from 5 members in 2015 to over 35,000 members in just 6 years. And so with that rapid growth, Brother Colin, we now have some leverage where we can make very large-scale economic moves. Talk to our listeners about this idea of building a Black state-of-the-art gun range and shooting facility.
Okay, and yes, we, you know, with our numbers, we do have leverage, but with our numbers, we also have a necessity. So, as I said, there has been exponential growth in our local chapter here. Since January, our local chapter has grown by 400%. So we have gone from 200 members to close to 1,000 members in you know just a short period of time. So any meeting space that we currently previously had been using.
You're going in and out, Brother Colin.
Yeah, any meeting space that we had been previously using, we've maxed it out. There's no way that we can hold in that facility. So there's a need for us to have our own spaces. So we're working on establishing a Black-owned private gun range close to the Atlanta metro area to serve as a recreational sport shooting facility and training center. So the long-term goal is to have every African-American in our community introduced to firearms use for self-protection, home defense, competitive shooting, and other outdoor recreational activities. So this facility is going to be a premier destination gun range. It's not just for our local community and state, but also for other NAGA chapters nationwide who are visiting Georgia. They need to come to a state-of-the-art destination range that can accommodate any aspect of the shooting sport. So we'll have long-range rifle ranges. We'll have deep and trap and clay shooting ranges as well. We'll have 20 action pistol bays where you know a family can come and have a private session within a bay where they can shoot together. And you know the facility will also have a meeting and greeting space and also event space for community events where we can invite the community in and have events that aren't related to firearms. They just may be community building events or educational events for the community. So that space allows us to not only help the community in many ways, but also gives us the ability to grow as our organization grows as well.
That's exciting, Colin. What is the time frame, do you think?
So we're looking at, we're in the process of researching and acquiring the property, the acreage right now. And we're looking at an 18-month time frame for the project to be completed so that the range will be open and functional. There are multiple phases to this gun range. So phase one will be an open status where we can open and operate, and there'll be phase two and phase three where we can build out the sports shooting facilities and also potential lodging on that property as well. So we have plans that extend beyond 18 months, but 18 months there'll be an operational Black-owned gun range in and around the Atlanta metro area.
Mm. That's great. Brother Colin, we have a caller that has been holding on. Caller, the last four digits of your number, 7204. 7204. Your line is open. Please give us your name and where you're calling from, and then give us your question or your comment.
Well, good evening, y'all. How y'all doing? This is Deborah from Richmond, Virginia. Can you
Greetings,
hear me?
Sister Deborah. We can hear you fine.
Okay.
Good evening.
Thank you. I think this is very important, the conversation that we're having. I can remember the problems I was having when I was raising my kids. That was years ago. My kids are in their 40s now, but the things that I'm talking about is still happening. Accidents in the household with little kids. And I think parents need to know to put their guns safely, but at the same time, they need it to be, you need to get to it as quick as you can when something happens. And that part needs to be discussed, because that was the problem that I was having back then. I didn't want my kids to know where the gun was, you know. And even though I grew up with guns, you know, I don't have no problem with that, you know. But see, when I was growing up, you didn't hear about no toy guns. And that kind of changed things a little bit. And so kids need to know that they're not supposed to mess with guns. And I'm glad that all of this is coming out, that we do have gun clubs and everything, because we definitely need it for this crazy world out here. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sister Deborah, and you raise a very critical question. Brother Colin, how does Bass Reeves and Naga address this sister's concern?
And it's an important concern, and I think in our communities, you know, we have this culture of fear around firearms, but children can learn. Children can learn languages. They can learn anything that you throw at them. So why couldn't they learn firearm safety and discipline? So our approach is to educate the youth. So we have youth presentations that educate the youth that, you know, firearms are tools, they're not toys. We also educate them on what to do to your firearm, right? Not to touch it, right? Move away, find an adult. So these are simple steps that the youth can take, and we also encourage parents to also be in those sessions with their children, because they need to also understand safe storage and responsible handling and manipulations of firearms in their household. So the family that learns together is going to grow together and be disciplined together, and that education will be the key to preventing, you know, those types of negligent discharges or incidents that the caller spoke about. So education is the key.
Okay. And, you know, it's interesting. You get to these ranges and you see other communities have no problem introducing firearms to their children. And so I'm thinking that part of what would happen at the Bass Reeves gun club range, once it's up and running, is that there would be an intentional way of making sure that our children were given this understanding and given instruction on proper use of handling of firearms. Is that part of the plan?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's absolutely part of the plan. This range is going to be a family-friendly recreational sports shooting range. So you can bring the entire family to the range. There'll be programs and educational offerings for shooters of all ages and you know, in all backgrounds and all skill levels. So we encourage the youth to come out and learn the shooting sports. There is a value in learning it. They learn great hand-eye coordination. They do learn discipline. They learn respect for rules and regulations. They also learn to work and function in team-building activities, in competition. So there's for them learning this sport just like any other sport, just like, you know, Pop Warner football or Little League baseball. The sports shooting and recreational shooting field is a field that I'll use to talk to the education. So, yeah, it's going to be a very family-friendly and youth-friendly gun range.
Right. Thank you for that. And I have to say that I was pleasantly surprised that there is this competitive sports shooting dimension to gun ownership, that it's very large. And it's a sport, and it even carries over into the Olympics. And so, as you point out, you know, there's Pop Warner leagues for all kinds of youth activity and involvement, and this could just as easily be a very similar activity to constructively teach children and youth responsible gun ownership and safety. So
absolutely.
It's a whole universe waiting for more and more of our community to become aware of and to function in. Colin, do you have any numbers in terms of the kinds of dollars that flow through a gun range? I mean, from ammo to different weapons, to gear. This is a multi-billion-dollar industry, is it not?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, that's one of the points that I was trying, that I wanted to raise, is the fact that, you know, there is a barrier to entry, especially in communities that may not have the most economic means. So because the shooting sports can be an expensive proposition, we can leverage our organization and the numbers in our organization to provide the youth in our community some of the firearms that we may not be using at the moment. Or we may, through donation, be able to provide the ability for our youth to get into or get over that barrier to entry into the shooting sports. So the fact that we have an organized means of raising those funds, we can provide the basis for our youth to be involved. So some of the economic impact, let's talk about that. So the economic impacts of the shooting sports in various surveys, if you look at surveys for hunting and shooting sports, the recreational sports shooting universe here has generated $100 billion in economic impact annually in this country. It also supports 866,000 jobs. So there's a huge opportunity for us to, you know, not just get into the sports shooting arena and also to excel in it.
You just faded out, Brother Colin. Could you restate the last point you were making? Not only
is there an opportunity for us to get into the sports shooting arena and to also excel in it, but also to take advantage of the $110 billion of economic impact that it can bring to our community. So we can provide jobs through a black-owned range. We can provide economic impact to the community. So there are so many benefits involved in it.
Okay. Brother Colin, Sister Deborah made a point of talking about we're living in very unsettling and uncertain times. And NAGA is in the process of proposing a way of organizing our community to be able to withstand whether it's a weather event, whether it's a natural disaster. And they call this the NAGA Emergency Situation Team, or NEST. We're going to take a quick 2-minute music break. And when we come back on the other side of the break, give us an idea of the value of this way of organizing ourselves and some of the thinking about why this is so important, especially at a time like this.
Surely. Surely will be.
Thank you. stick, that's a sex machine to all the chicks.
You're damn right.
And we're back. Some of you may recognize that music. It is a little dated, but it's certainly still very inspiring. This is Welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly broadcast. And my name is Brother Ankti. We're talking with Brother Colin Mapp of the Bass Reeves Gun Club, the founding chapter of the National African American Gun Association. And before we went to break, we were talking about the Bass Reeves Gun Club building a state-of-the-art black gun range and facility. And Brother Colin mentioned that this whole shooting sports, firearm development is a $100 billion industry. And so not only does this create jobs and circulate revenue, it just has a lot of benefits, economic benefits for our community when we position ourselves to own our own facility. Building on that, I wanted Brother Colin to talk to our listening audience about NAGA's thrust to organize National Emergency Situation Teams, or NEST. Brother Colin, help us to understand what this concept is and how it benefits our community, and probably at a time that is extremely important for where we are in today's political and social climate.
Okay, so I'll tell you this, that we have been in a state of emergency for 401 years. So this should be nothing new to the folks who are listening online. But in this climate, yes, we definitely do need to organize, have means of being able to communicate with each other. But for me, more importantly, is really the sense of community. So a NAGA emergency support team is a rapidly deployable team of people who are tasked with providing, you know, specialized guidance, resources, aid, and support to members of that team. So it's a small community of team members that work in conjunction with each other in times of significant crisis. So those crises could be civil unrest, right? But those crises could also be natural disasters, like what we've seen in, you know, when hurricanes hit areas, and those areas are devastated and the infrastructure is out. You know, how do we provide support and medical aid to those who are in our community? So the NEST are an organized team that provides those specialized resources and aid. So the mission of an emergency support team is to empower its members through training, right, in preparing themselves for natural disasters or civil unrest emergencies. So having the proper gear, having the proper training, which includes firearms training, it includes safety and first aid training, stop the bleed training. It requires us to understand communication protocol, have radios for two-way communication in case the internet and our communication infrastructure goes down. We'll need two-way radio communication. Our members need to understand how to shelter in place. They need to know how to shelter away. They need to know how to gather information that's important to their survival. So the NEST is a team that is tasked with educating each other, right, and empowering each other, and being able to provide that type of secure support to family or community if necessary.
I'm glad that you started off by saying that we've been in an emergency environment for 400 years. I mean,
yes,
that keeps it real. And so it should take some of the, it should lower some of the tension that some of us may be feeling, and reminding us that if anybody knows how to survive a harsh environment, we certainly have had our experience in those arenas. But I heard you say in one of our meetings that it's the organized community that comes through those kinds of natural disasters, weather events, civil disobedience, whatever the situation may be. It's those organized communities that come through it best. Say something so that we understand that the value of this is getting ourselves mentally prepared and having made the connections before the crisis so that we're better able to function through and beyond the crisis.
Absolutely. Well, it comes down to the five P's: proper planning, prevents poor performance. It's the five P's. So for me personally,
say that again.
It doesn't
what
matter.
Are they again?
Five P's are proper planning, prevents poor performance. So when we properly plan, it prevents poor performance. So we need to be constantly preparing, right? Mentally, physically, right? With supplies, so that when the emergency comes, it's not really a crisis, right? We can manage through it because there's a plan, right? We don't wait until, you know, we have the accident in the car to strap our seatbelt on. We get in the car and we strap the seatbelt on first. So that's the same mindset that you have to have in approaching a situation where you may need to be in support of others or in support of your family. So for me personally, it doesn't matter what the political climate is. It doesn't matter what is happening. My mindset is always on how can I be of the best service to myself, my family, and my community. So we have to you know, transfer that mentality into our emergency support team. So it could really be, you know, four or five families that are on one block, on the same block, who get together and each have a separate role. We may have one whose role is safety and security. And as a team, together, everyone achieves more. That next team can be able to provide not just safety and security and first aid for each other, but also for the larger community as well.
Mm-hmm. Brother Colin, we have another caller. Caller, last four numbers, 6093. 6093, please give us your name, where you're calling from, and state your comment or your question. Your line is open.
Thank you so much. This is Sister Nanana calling from Denver, Colorado. How are you, Brother Ankti?
I'm great, Sister. Good to hear you.
Thank you. I have a couple of things. First of all, if there's anything that can be done to provide a little better transmission, that would be appreciated. Really can't hear what the brother is saying. So, I don't know. Maybe the mic is not fully open or something, but can't really make out everything that he's saying. And then my question is concerning young people. What is offered by NAGA for young people to in our communities to start to learn the value and the importance of proper gun handling, and at what age can that training and exposure be provided for them? Thank you.
Okay.
Thank
so,
you,
sister. Can
Nana.
You hear me clearly? So can you hear me clearly, Auntie?
I can hear you now.
Okay. So NACA provides firearm safety and marksmanship and proficiency training for all ages. So it just depends on the personal preference of the parents. We've trained children as young as 8 years old. So it just depends. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you just went out and then you came back in. Go ahead.
It's fading in and out.
So we provide training for all ages. So it just depends on the preference of the parents. It's a personal preference. So my children, they didn't start learning firearms usage until the age of 16. But I've trained youth as young as age 8. So it just depends on the preference. But firearm safety is firearm safety. So we'll teach anyone from any age how to properly handle firearms, be disciplined with their firearms, understand the legal ramifications behind using it, so Georgia law or state law. And so as long as the child is able to learn and the parents are with them, we can educate them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Nanana. Colin mentioned that you started training your children at 16. I'm
correct.
Sure they saw your firearms around the house before they were 16. How did you secure your firearms until you felt comfortable training them for themselves?
Well, the first thing that was done is that they received an education in the five fundamental rules of firearm safety. So they understood that I would be disciplined with the firearm. So they needed to be disciplined with the firearm. So we have an understanding in our household that, you know, I don't play with firearms. They never see me with the firearms out. It's for a purpose. If I'm carrying, I will put it in my holster and I'll go about my daily business. If I need to clean it, they'll see me cleaning it. We don't play around with firearms. Firearms aren't toys. So they understand that the firearm should be respected. So I'm able to secure it. And I have safes. I have a key lock safe, but I also have holsters also where my firearm is close by or on my person. So it's very familiar to my children in the household and you know, my family at large.
Okay. Brother Colin, give us some contact information. We're right up against the ending of our program. How can people get additional information from you and Naga and Bass Reeves?
Okay. So to find out more information on the National African American Gun Association, you can go to www.naaga.co. So naga.co. It's not .com, but .co. And there you'll find our mission, our vision. You'll be able to find chapters that are in your local area. And also you'll be able to contact those chapters as well for more information for your local chapter. For the Bass Reeves Gun Club here in the Atlanta metro area, you can email info@BASSREEVES.com. So info@BassReevesGC.com, BassReevesGC.com, and I will respond to any email that you send to me. We'll give you information on our chapter, when we meet, the events that we have, and the training opportunities as well. So you can also visit our website at www.BassReevesGC.com, and you'll find information there as well.
Well, Brother Colin, I certainly want to thank you for taking time to share with our audience. It's been most informative and calming, and at the same time, it's setting the stage for us to think about self-defense as a human right and to exercise it, to exercise our self, our Second Amendment rights, to do it responsibly, and at the same time to provide a platform for organizing to take care of our community and not just self-defense issues, but to advocate, to raise our voice, to exercise our agency. And so thank you so much for coming on. There's a lot more that we did not get to. Would you be willing to come back on at a later time?
Oh, absolutely, Brother Auntie. And I appreciate the opportunity as well. And I appreciate all the listeners and the questions, the great questions that you had. And I'll be definitely happy to come back and speak to you a little bit more about any topics that you'd like and that I can contribute to.
Okay, then. I want to thank Sister Deborah for calling in and Sister Nanana for your calling and your questions, and for all of you that have tuned in to Dare to Win this evening. We are here every Thursday at 9 to 10, and we look forward to next week and hope to talk to you then. Brother Corn, have a good night, and we'll talk on the other side. Family.